This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. And I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're gonna show you something here in just a second. You got that ready back there, Andrew? In just a second, I want to show you something. But in Psalms 100, if you have your Bible, turn to Psalms 100. It's one of my favorite happy scriptures. Yeah. Psalms 100, page 812. In this Bible. 812. Hang on. Don't get ahead of me. Make a joyful shout. And the old King James Version says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. I always get amazed in the body of Christ. There's all kinds of people. There's shouters. There's introverts. There's people that want to raise their hands or people that would never raise their hands. There's people of all sorts that... And however you shout or make a joyful noise unto the Lord, just do that, it's saying. But it's always a command for all of us to make a joyful noise. Jana calls it boy noise. She said, do you ever be quiet? And I said, no, I'm making a joyful noise unto the Lord. And it just drives her crazy, but Jesus loves it, I think. But however you do it, that's the way you ought to make a joyful noise. And I just thought this was so cute. I love to go and see things like this. So watch this little fella, and he's making a joyful noise unto the Lord as something just catches his attention. I couldn't see your faces sitting there with my back, but I could hear you. And what is so hilarious about a baby laughing? Well, he's making a joyful noise, isn't he? It's something that's tickled him. You know, he's probably tired. A lot of times when kids get tired, you know, they'll start that giggling thing. But I thought, you know, I saw that and I thought, this is what God's talking about. How many knows God put that in the baby? That ability to come out and to bubble and something to just catch his... And so, making a joyful noise and what makes you happy? You know, what makes you laugh and like that? You know, is it, we think it's, you know, what makes us happy sometimes and we shout about maybe as we get a raise or we learn something or we, you know, what makes you happy? What makes you shout? And it says, you know, look in the scripture, it says, make a joyful shout unto the Lord, all you lands, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. And here's what makes us shout with joy. Know that the Lord, He is God. We shout because our Father is God. We sang this morning, and good job, praisers. I love those songs you chose this morning. Just soothes the soul, doesn't it? Didn't we come before His presence with singing this morning and enter His gates with thanksgiving? So we're right on track. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. You say, well, Mom and Dad made me. Well, who made your Mom and Dad? And you go all the way back, and if you could trace it back far enough, if they had good records, you could see where the first man was scraped up out of dirt, and God formed him and fashioned him out of dirt and breathed the breath of life into him. And then He took the woman, made her out of the rib of Adam, and made the first woman, and He started. That's where your life started. That's where my life, because He's our God. So here's the constant in there when we're thinking about making a joyful shout or serving the Lord with gladness, and we think, well, I would, if everything was better in my life, I wouldn't have any problem, but you know, you just don't know what I'm going through. And we don't shout and we don't serve Him with gladness because of what's going on or not going on in our life. We serve Him because of the constant that's here, and that is that the Lord, He is God and He made us. We can be the same and they're shouting in our joy and our thanksgiving because of who God is, not because of what is or is not happening in our life. And so that's why we make a joyful noise. And then He says, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. How many knows wherever you live, that's His pasture? You might be sitting here today and you say, well, I own my place. I own it. You may even have it paid for and say, nobody can take that from me. Well, how many knows you don't really own the property? At best, you kind of occupy it for a few years. Because how many knows somebody was on that property before you got there? And if Lord Terry, somebody will be on that property after you're gone. Can't take it with you. You say, well, I can do anything I want with my property, my house. You might could burn your house or change your house or tear it down and rebuild it, but how many knows you can't do much of nothing with your land? You might dig a hole or something, but how many knows it goes all the way through? It'd be a pretty good chunk. How far down do you own? So really, we don't own much of nothing. How many knows if you read the Scripture, he says, in fact, when He comes back, He's going to burn all this that we see and know with a fervent heat. It's all going to melt and dissolve and be gone someday. Everything that we prize as our prized possessions, everything we have now, is just going to burn with a fervent heat. I figure it's probably because of all the disease and stuff that we've created as humans after sin and all the diseases we've created and all in the smog, and all that's going to be burned, and then there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. So when we look at it in the scope of, well, what should we shout about? Why should we serve with gladness? Is because He's God. And this is His place. And He's allowed us to use His place to live our lives. Wouldn't you be grateful if somebody took you in and gave you a big house and gave you a spread of land and said, here, you just get to enjoy this and you get to have this as long as you want it, you know. Well, in essence, that's what God has given us. He said, here's the planet. You get to tend it and take care of it and use it. And so He gives us enough intellect and knowledge and wisdom to make a little money so we can buy a little place and settle down, you know, and call that our own while we're here. And so that never changes. He's God. It says, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. What are you thankful for today? What are you thankful for today? In fact, I'd like for one or two of you just to come, you know, just you can just lift your hand, and when you get ready, you can just come up here and give a real short. Now, if you're not short, I know how to help shorten you. So not preach, but just if you're just, you know what, just say, I'm just thankful. I just love to tell the church what I'm thankful for today. If you're here and you'd like to do that, you can just lift your hand any time during the preaching, right now, whenever it might be, and I'll let you say something. Let me get a mic for you, Miss Dorothy, and I'll just come to you. She's such a mess. She told me this morning, I said, you look pretty. She said, well, is that unusual? She said, in my business, we call that fishing, and I just got a compliment. I said, no, it's not unusual.
Thank you. That's another thing I'm thankful for.
Yeah.
The people don't mind the silly things I say. But mainly, I'm so thankful to be able to walk into a crowd. Some of them have been strangers for a minute. But I know you all. I don't know your names all. But I give you love, and it's a happiness. It just like makes a wonderful day to know that you can hug somebody,
yes,
and express your love and God's love that way.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Amen. You got okay.
I'm thankful this morning because it is God that causes me to be here.
Yes.
And without a mate today, I'm still grateful because He is my comforter today.
Amen.
And I thank God because I'm able to walk into the house of God and find my friends here, the people that love me and keeping me up in prayer.
Yes.
I just praise God because this too is a day that He made, and I choose to rejoice in it.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bible says, serve Him with gladness. I want to show you another clip. This is hilarious. This is just a little kid, and he's serving the Lord and making, he's a little bitty thing. I don't even know if he talks or not, probably not, but he's just a little bitty shaver. But he just makes people laugh. He's serving people with his gifts. Serve the Lord with gladness. Are you ready back there? Watch this.
Give him the evil look.
He told him, give him the evil look. That's his evil look.
Give him the evil look.
I love that. I've seen that so many times. I just love it. It's hilarious. But he's using what he has just to bring a little laughter, you know? And I don't know how they can ever connect to something like that. I don't know. But I thought, you know, here he is, and they're just having a good time. Some of the happiest people on the planet, guess what they do? They learn how to laugh. They spend time. One of the stories that I read in the book yesterday was it's talking about Monterey, New Mexico, or Old Mexico. And the average income is $14,000 a year, which is about more than three times the national average income in Mexico, which is around $4,000. They have $4,000 income. They can pretty much meet all their needs in Mexico, was what the report was. And so these would be upper class people. And so the writer is going through their community, and he's asking them, what would you do if you had more money? And so he walks up, and there's three ladies of different ages, and they're all sitting on cinder blocks. On cinder blocks. And he said, they're just visiting and having a great time. And he said, he asked them the question, he said, what would you do if you made more money? And so that kind of caught them off guard, and they said, well, one of them said, we might buy a bigger house. And then as they sit there and they thought about it for a little while, they said, no, we probably wouldn't buy a bigger house, because if we bought a bigger house, we'd have to move, and we couldn't do this every day. They said, every day, once we get breakfast made for our husbands and our children off to school, so then we get our housework done, we all come together, and we spend 2 or 3 hours just sitting and talking, and say, we wouldn't give this up. We wouldn't give this up. And it says the happiest people that serve on the planet, they have a social network where they can socialize, and it says it's healthiest if you can socialize several hours a day. Several hours a day. Because that's the way God made us, isn't it? Is to connect with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. Now, let me ask you, if your gladness scale is pretty low right now, what is your social life like? Yeah. In fact, it's amazing to me what we think will bring us joy and happiness. I got something that I read it to Jana last night. I thought, this is hilarious, and it's kind of sad. And if you're a child at home and still in the sanctuary today, This is not about the love scale. The love scale is real high. This is about happiness scale. This is about happiness scale. But I thought when I read it and I meditated and I reflected on it, I thought this is probably a lot of truth in this for, especially for American moms. Because most all the American moms, it's, you know, this, both spouses work. And I know as I read it, you'll have some thoughts. But here's, it says, it's talking about what makes people happy. Be realistic about the joys of parenthood. You know, if we're talking about the happiness scale, serve the Lord with gladness. Make a joyful noise. It says, next to our spouse, our children are the people with whom we spend the most time. Contrary to conventional wisdom, having children does not automatically bring us greater happiness. In fact, it can often be the reverse. Research shows that during the first year of a child's life, both mother and father experience an increase in life satisfaction, but that soon changes. See, they're really getting a kick out of this, isn't it? Her kids are grown, that's why. And you'll connect here in just a minute. Yeah. It says, but, you know, it soon changes. And a reduction in general happiness occurs for both parents, presumably from the added financial, relationship, and responsibility stress. And mothers tend to be less happy than fathers. And I just know what you would say if you could. Because we have to. Huh? Is that what you're going to say? Because we have to. Yeah. In fact, women find caring for children less pleasurable than jogging and only slightly more pleasurable than doing dishes. Now, that's not the love scale. The love is up. The love scale for all you children is way up here. You understand that? Understand that? But it's talking about happiness now. And I thought, you know, if we just get real, it's okay to say raising children is a tough job. That's all they're saying. It's about giving. And as we give, that's what brings our happiness scale up to our children, right? Because it's better to give than it is to receive. So but it's talking about the happiness scale because of the responsibility. The good news for parents in this happiness is that happiness seems to rebound when the children turn 18. And you got one more, right? To turn 18. Yeah. The reward, one more year. The rewards of parenting, it seems, are not necessarily measured on a happiness scale. On a happiness scale. And all I'm saying, you know, he says, serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence. You know what? How many knows God has to stress with us too? He has His work cut out when He's raising us as well. And that's why the grace is built in and the unconditional love is built in and all the stuff like that is built in. But here's the thing, you know, it's not all just fun and games. I mean, raising children is difficult, isn't it? And that's all they're saying. They're just measuring that for us and saying, you know, that there is an element of stress on the happiness scale. And that's what we're talking about today. But being thankful for what you have. And here's something that I think will help us on the happiness scale is once your physical needs are met, it doesn't matter how much money you make beyond that because it raises happiness very little once your essential needs are met. Said for most American households, that's if the spouses bring in $60,000 a year, that can most every need you have will be met. And some of you may say, well, boy, I wish I made that much. And some of you say, well, I make quite a bit more than that. You know, so that would vary. But it's just saying, once you and I, and I want you to get a hold of this because I think we need to hear this as Americans. When we're talking about our happiness scale, we think about more money would make us happier. And it says, once your basic needs are met, and this is worldwide, once your basic essential needs, your house, your you know, you're pretty healthy and you feel comfortably safe, you know, and even where safety is not a factor, really. But once you make that needed income, all that above there is really doesn't bring you any more happiness. Very little to measure, so much they couldn't hardly measure, because all of our needs are met. My God shall supply what? All your needs according to His riches in glory. And so beyond that, and it found out this, it said that givers, people that plan giving every year, are some of the most happiest people on the planet. And it really suggests that you have like $1,000 or so much for your income set aside and intentional set aside to give this next year. And this is not a church book. These are scientists. These are researchers that's going around. And I thought, but it's talking about the same thing that God's talking about in this scripture that says, you know, if we want to serve the Lord with gladness, then we need to take a look at our life. Here's something for your soul. Their social network was more important than most any place. In fact, Singapore is one of the fastest growing economies in the world. They were kind of separated years ago and had to fend for themselves, and so now they've had good leadership. But now it's about economic growth. Their income is 11 times stronger than it was just several years or a few years ago, and so the finances are there. But here's something that I thought was really interesting. The biggest majority of the race of Singapore is Chinese, and then it's Malaysians, and then it's Indian, and so they got this mix. And the government says to them, to keep a balance, you have to have a ratio in every job. Every company has to have a ratio of these three races. And here's something really interesting: was the Malaysians were the most happy people in Singapore. But guess what? They also were. They were the most social. Said, for instance, when you have a wedding in Singapore, the Chinese wedding will average between 200 to 400 people. That's a lot of people, isn't it? So that's pretty relational. But said the Malaysians, they will have anywhere from 2,000 to 4,000 people for a wedding. Now, I don't know about you, but that would be stressful for me just thinking about that. But here's a, and you're not getting that many for your wedding, so okay, so don't even be smiling. But here's what we think about in America. We think, well, that would be stressful because of what I have to do and what I have. But they come together as family. Even the neighborhood, the neighbors, and all the community come together as family, participating, kind of like we did yesterday as we brought stuff to your house. You know, you didn't have to supply it all. We brought stuff in as family. Now, you graciously provided the meat and things, but it wasn't a requirement for you. And it says, so they all come. And can you imagine 2,000 to 4,000 people in a wedding? Guess who holds the world record in the largest laughing crowd ever? Singapore. Guess who holds the record for the longest lantern parade in history? Singapore. Guess who holds the record for the largest badminton crowd ever? Isn't that fun? I'd make you want to move to Singapore, wouldn't it? What are we doing this week, you know? But the largest badminton crowd in the world is Singapore. And all it's saying is what God's saying in our scripture. We're His sheep and His people. We're attached to a body. We're not loners. How many knows, when He talks about sheep in the Bible, He talks about how vulnerable they are when they get off out by themselves. And they have no place, no company, and they don't have people with them. So, making a joyful noise is more than just, oh, if I'm healthy. Now, health was a big thing, but social life was a huge thing. Here's something that I thought was interesting when we're talking about happiness and being joyful and things. It said that security for, like, Singapore is not a democracy, and so security is a lot more important to them than having the freedom that we call freedom here to do what we do. In fact, one of their top leaders said to the researchers that I would a lot rather live in a country where I'm safe and secure than I would in a country that, you know, I would be willing or able to get up and read Playboy tomorrow because all this freedom that you Americans supposedly have. So we value. How many just say, how many say if we had a vote tomorrow and they say, okay, here you can have security or freedom. Which one do you want? How would you vote? Huh? Freedom? Freedom? Take sure your own security? And it's getting where it's getting harder to do that, isn't it? Every day in Oklahoma City, you know, we're the Bible Belt, but almost every day in Oklahoma City, somebody else has been murdered. Somebody else has been killed. Yesterday, they said on the news, somebody came in and with a stranger to a home that they didn't know and had gasoline and said, I'm going to, you know, just begin to taunt them and set their house on fire. Yesterday. In Oklahoma City. Not long ago, we had a satanic church meeting down at the Civic Center. In Oklahoma City. I think the Bible it speaks to this when it says, you know what? If you lose your life, if you'll surrender it, give up your freedom, as we call it, to do whatever I want to do, and take on the Bible code, the ethics of the Bible code, you'll find what? Life. So happiness is not really about freedom as much as it's about doing what is right, isn't it? When we talk about the Bible, he says, you know, if you want to really find life, you just lose your life and get a hold of the Scripture and live this Word, and you'll find life. And that's one of the biggest tricks of the enemy, isn't it? That says, oh, if I become a Christian, you know, I have to give up this and I have to give up that. I can't have fun anymore. I'll never forget a conversation when I was in junior high, and us guys were in the restroom after between classes. One of them was trying to witness, and he asked one of the young men, he said, you know, if he's Christian and he went to church and stuff. He said, no, he said, when I get old, I'll do that. Right now, I have a lot of life to live, a lot of fun to have. I thought, that's the way the enemy is, isn't it? How many knows he's come to steal and kill and destroy? And what the world would call fun, he's calling sin. And so we come to Christ and we wonder how we can serve the Lord with gladness. And he says, here's how you do it. You just begin to know that the Lord, He is God. That you just know that this is His pasture. And that you just know we are His sheep. That you just know that the Lord is good. He's good. You say, well, why am I going through all this? I don't know, but I know the Lord is good. And I know that He said, all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. His purpose. How much freedom is in that? Called to whose purpose? His purpose. And it's kind of like in a parent relationship. You know, when your child, you know, Gage is a cute little kid and stuff, but there's going to be times when you're going to have to just tell him, you're not doing that. And he'll look at you and you'll say, now stop that. And he'll say, no! And I know you just can't hardly picture that, but just it's coming. Because he's such a cute boy, you know. And then it's amazing to me that church people think their kids won't lie. Only church kids that don't lie are all going to be with Jesus. And I'm not professing anything. I'm just saying that we have to be careful because the temptation is always there. It's always there to cover ourselves when we're in a tight spot. It's just there. The Bible teaches us, and it teaches us for our kids. It's just there. And so to ignore that and think our kids never would tell the truth, it's not realistic. But how many knows, as adults, we don't always tell the truth. Sometimes somebody look at you and say, how you doing? And you're doing awful. And you'll say, fine. I'm doing fine, thank you. We're not always honest either. And then some of you need to learn how to say fine instead of, oh, it's awful and blah, you know. We'll get to where we won't ask you no more, you know. Have a little faith that it's going to be okay, and you know, confess. So there's a balance in there, but I'm just saying, you know, it's real. But the Lord has made us where we can, whatever we're going through, whatever we're facing, the Lord has made it so we can overcome. Go with me to Colossians 3:17. Because it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord all you land. Serve the Lord with gladness. And they say, well, what are we supposed to serve Him with? I mean, what does that mean? Serve the Lord with gladness. Well, look at Colossians 3:17. Are you there? And whatever, everybody say whatever. Whatever you do in word. I mean, I was not talking about the word processor or PowerPoint. Whatever you do in word, whatever you speak about, if it's on the job, if it's in your community, if it's with your family, if it's something you say to your worst enemy or to your best friend, or word or what? Deed. That's your occupation. That's anything you do during the week, you know, in your spare time, in your work time, and whatever you do could be your occupation. If you go to the Greek, it mentions occupation and on this word. But anything you do, everything we do, yesterday at the fellowship, this morning at church, after church, at lunch, what you say and what you do, do what? All. Do all in the name or the character, in the name and the character or the likeness of the Lord. Everything. Everything you do and everything you say, do it all in the character or the likeness of the Lord Jesus. And then what does He say? Giving thanks. Giving thanks. How thankful are you? One of the statistics that was given in the book Thrive was you really need to search who you hang out with. And it said if you hang out with a friend that's a happy person, then it increases your happiness by as much as 9%. I told Jana, I ought to start charging people to hang around me. I'm a happy person. I can bring you up. Rent me out by the hour or something, you know. And all you happy people, let's just start charging. What do you think? But here's the other side of it. If you have if you're in your social group, if this person is depressed, it brings your happiness level down 7% or more. Think about it. So who are you hanging around? Are you hanging around people that complain and people that grumble and people, you know, and if it's your spouse, you're just stuck. Don't think, you know, you can't get rid of that one. But I mean, who are you hanging around and what are they saying? And never think it's not going to affect you, because I'm telling you that, I believe that survey is correct, don't you? People you hang around, it's going to either help you come up a little higher or it's going to bring you down. And so who are you hanging around? And after church, I'm going to have to tell some of you I can't hang around you no more. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. All you happy people here. All you happy people. But we really need to give thought to that. And then it says to the parents, grandparents, if you're raising your children, he says, be careful and know who your kids are hanging around and what their personality is. Know their families. Know them and know their characteristics. Because it's going to affect what your kids do. Here's something on the happiness level. We're going to serve the Lord, and whatever we're going to do and say, we're going to do in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we're going to do it with thanksgiving. It says, you know what? When your kids become teenagers, they need a job. And some of you I know don't agree with that. Right now they're going to school, and that's all they need to do. It's just, but you know, they're in the summer, and it says they need a job because they'll learn. It'll do two things for them, and I believe this wholeheartedly as well. It'll give them purpose. That they're contributing back to society. And that's why it says, serve the Lord with gladness. How many just knows whenever, for instance, Singapore has no welfare system. Singapore also has no homeless people on the streets. You know what they have instead of welfare? They have workfare. It's interesting, isn't it? They have workfare. I think that's what God ordained was workfare. Serve. I mean, if you're going to serve the Lord, if you're going to, whatever you say or do, both of those are active terms, aren't they? Do as unto the Lord, and teach them how this contributes back into society. You know, if they're maybe their first job is a waitress, and just to know that that's a good service, that you're serving people, that you know, that's going to help their day, and they'll come in for nourishment, and you're a part of helping them and nourishing them, get them on their way. Or if they're carrying groceries out to the car for an elderly, whoever, you know, you're doing a service for that. It's not just a paycheck, but it learns them a purpose. And so whatever they're doing, tied into what, you know, this is a God thing. This is something that says if you're giving and contributing back to society, you're just going to be a happier person. And I've watched that over the years as kids that grow up and they're never expected to work. They're just not usually very happy campers. Whatever you do or say, speak, do as unto. This is, I'm not doing it for, you know, I'm not preaching because of you. I'm doing it because of a call that I have on my life. And whatever you do, I hope you're doing it because God has put a gift in you and you're contributing back to society. And you have a bigger picture of why, you know, you're doing what you do. But whatever we do, he says, do in the character, the likeness of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. And then go with me to Philippians. Let's just turn back just a few pages to Philippians. And look in chapter 4. Go over to your neighbor and say, get your happiness on. Y'all didn't sound very happy about that either. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord when? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That means to be cheerful. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Make a what? Joyful noise. Anybody else want to make a joyful noise and give a thanksgiving testimony? Did we just have two? We got one right there. One right there. All right. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. See, I would act this way, but I'm not going to because I know the Lord is at hand. So I'm going to show you my gentle side. I'm going to show you the God side, because He said I have to act in word and deed. He said to act in word and deed in everything I do as unto the Lord. This is as a messenger of God, I'm going to act this way. If I wasn't a messenger of God, you wouldn't want to know how I'm going to act. But I'm not my own anymore. I'm bought with a price. I belong to Him. And now I've found life because I've become a slave to Christ. Not free in Christ, but slave to Christ. And as I become a slave to Christ, I found freedom that I never knew could exist. Isn't that good? So we can rejoice. We can be glad in it. This is the day the Lord has made, he says, and we can rejoice and be glad in it. And then I love verse 6. Well, we'll get these happy reports right here, and then we'll do verse 6.
My blessing is the ministry that God has given me. And I'm so thankful for the things that I've had ministry-wise in the last few years. I'm very thankful for this church that supports me and encourages me and prays for me. And that is just a blessing for this Thanksgiving. And the answered prayers that we see through our prayer ministry and through our prison ministry. We had two salvations and a rededication this summer with our prison ministry. So amen. I'm just real blessed with that. And serve the Lord with gladness, and it makes you happy.
Amen. Amen.
I don't want to use the microphone.
I'm thankful for God and for never giving up on me and always being there for me. Even though I hated him all my life, he knew that one day I would finally surrender to him. Amen. And so when, you know, you want to give up on people, just know that, you know, because God didn't give up on me. Now I'm here today to sing and praise to him. And he brought a new friend into my life and her husband, and they've been blessing us, and they've been being really good to us. So,
amen. 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 Verse 6, and if you want to testify, just raise your hand. We'll give you a choice. Verse 6, be anxious for what? Let me ask you something. The holidays are coming. What are you anxious about? What are you anxious about? The holidays are coming. Just come on. Let's confess your faults one to another. Holidays are coming. What are you anxious about?
Money and time.
Money and time. Huh? Ready for Black Friday? She's anxious for nothing. That's a good anxious, right? Good anxious. How many ladies just say, I'm anxious for Black Friday, and that's a good anxious. You can be anxious in that, you know, ready to come out of the gates. All right. Be anxious for nothing. And so whatever you feel this time of year, you know what? Just say this year is going to be different. This year, I'm going to heed the Scripture, and the Scripture said be anxious for nothing because I want to serve the Lord with what? Gladness. I want to make a joyful noise. How many know serving the Lord with gladness is a choice? You get to choose if you want to serve the Lord with gladness or not. You get to choose. It's your choice. It's not about him. It's not about her. It's not about them. It's about you. And you serving the Lord with gladness, you get to choose. Nobody can take that from you. Kind of like an education. You can get it and you got it. Nobody can take that from you. You know. So you get to choose. And I'll tell you something else. Making a joyful noise is a command of the Scripture, so do you believe it? And also, it's a perspective. You can look at what you don't have, or you can look at what God has blessed you with. That's a perspective. Is the glass half full, or is it half empty? I've always been an optimist. I always think things are going to get better, and I think I can do more than I can. I think people will always be better than they are. I do. I'm an optimist. But I'd rather be that way than to be negative. You know, just to always be negative. So be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Everybody say everything.
Everything.
Is that Christmas? Is that Thanksgiving? Is that in gift buying? Is that in holidays? Is that in Black Friday and regular Thursday? Everything. Is that when the washer's broke and the washer runs and the car runs and the car don't run? Is that when the house payment's made and it's not paid? And when you got gas or you don't have water or electric, you know, it's in everything. And everything is because He never changes. He never changes. He's always the same. God is good. Know that He is the Lord and He is good. And so our rejoicing, our faithfulness, our word and deed, we can look like God and be like God because it's not about the circumstances, but it's about the God we serve. And perspective is if my eyes are on Him, not on what's not. Be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer. You know what prayer is? Just having a talk with Jesus, isn't it? So, the holidays are here, and whatever you normally stress about, just say, not this year, Satan. You're not getting my joy this year. This year, I'm going to have good holidays. This year, I'm going to have a great holiday. Doesn't matter who shows up. Doesn't matter if they show up happy or sad. We're going to go down Thursday, and I thought the weather's going to be cold. Praise the Lord. Some of you are already stressing because it's going to be cold and everybody's going to be in your house. Well, they will be. So just, you know, put up the breakables or whatever you want them to touch and have a good time. And the kids will spill cake on your carpet and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, but everything through prayer. Have a little talk with Jesus. Supplication, you know, pouring your heart out to Him. With what? Thanksgiving. There's that word again. Thanksgiving. How many knows we're coming up on a holiday we call what? Thanksgiving. So why not just be happy about it this year? It really depends on you. Well, I can be happy if Uncle Fred don't come. If he comes, I'm not going to be happy. Well, then you'll never be happy. Because when Uncle Fred dies, somebody else will take his place. What you need to do is get over yourself. You need to die so you can find life. And tell Uncle Fred, I love you and I'm praying for you. Because the Lord hadn't changed. The Lord is good. The Lord is God. Be anxious for nothing, but everything with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And listen, here's the payoff. Watch the payoff. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. You won't even understand why you can still rejoice and serve the Lord with such gladness if you do it God's way. You won't even know why. I don't know why I'm different this year, but I've just done it God's way, and all I know is I'm better now. I don't have to be like that anymore. I don't have to come in and gripe and slander and try to defend myself and all this stuff. This year I'm just free in Jesus' name, and I'm going to serve the Lord with gladness. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guards my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. That sounds like the holiday I want to have. How about you? So let's just serve Him with gladness. Make a joyful noise. It's that time of year. Be anxious for nothing this Christmas. You know what? Whatever you're going to have to spend and do, that's what you're going to have, whether you worry or you have fun with it. Be creative this year, you know? If the funds are low, just be creative. Ask God. Talk to God. Put it in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, saying, I know you're just going to make a way and it's going to be a great time through faith. You get to drive the ship. You get to drive your mind. Nobody can drive you. You get to drive. So make it a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make it a joyful season unto the Lord. They're not your problem. Lay it down at the feet of Jesus today and say, Lord, I believe that your word is true, and today you said that I should make a joyful noise and I should serve you with gladness. And you'd have never told me to do that if I wasn't able to do that through the power of Jesus Christ. So would you just surrender? Let's surrender today. Father, thank you for instructing your children today that you love so much. You told us to make a joyful noise unto you. And so today, however we make that expression to you, whether it's shouting or just bubbling on the inside, or however each one of us make that expression, help us to practice that. You gave us the ability and the power to do that in all kinds of circumstances. You didn't say if things were right or if conditions would accommodate. You just said do it. You said serve the Lord with gladness. You didn't say if we felt like it or if things were going great. You just said serve the Lord with gladness. So you'd have never told us that if you hadn't gave us the ability to do that. And so today we choose to make a joyful noise. Today we choose to serve you with gladness. Today we choose to look at the good and the blessings that's coming up and through Thanksgiving and Christmas and the holidays. And as we keep our focus and our heart on you, and as we receive this strength and joy and power from you, we thank you, Lord, that it will not only be in us, but it will be reflected in and through us to our family and friends, that they would say, I want to be like that. That they'll see the true joy of the Lord in our hearts, in our minds. And they'll see that we're not controlled by circumstances or individuals or family members, but we are controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the Father that's given us the power to choose. And so we thank you, Lord, today that the holidays will be a great time for us because we have taken the stance that we will choose to serve the Lord with gladness. Now give us the power and strength to accomplish that. And we give you praise and glory and honor for that. In Jesus' name, and all the church said, Amen.